Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
Sam.
Yo, man, we got another victory, man. That's back-to-back wins. FSU fans, we feeling good right now, man. It's a good feeling, man. We ain't been able to celebrate 2 weeks in a row in a good little minute. So now we definitely feeling good, especially seeing that this is probably one of the most complete games, man. We also gonna dive into a little bit of Jimbo Fisher, man. Doing the impossible. I didn't never think that a former assistant would be able to beat Nick Saban. Hey, Jimbo Fisher showed he was the man to do it. And then we're gonna talk a little bit about Mark Stoops too, man. Mark Stoops is also got things rolling down there in Kentucky. We're probably his best team ever. So listen, man, we're gonna dive into Florida State, of course, at first. But before we get into all of that, man, hit the subscribe button. You see the message, man. Hit the subscribe button, rate, review. What is it? Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Twitter, yeah. Wherever you see it at, man. Facebook, wherever you see us at, man. Hit it, rate 5 stars, man. Tell us how you feeling, man. Whether you like it, hate it, whatever it is. And again, we don't got 200 subscribers so far on YouTube. We want that number to keep growing, man. So again, tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your wife, everybody. You know what I mean? Tell them just hit the button. They ain't got to even like the page, listen to it. Just, you know, hit that subscribe button, man. We're trying to get those subscribers up. But listen, man. We saw a lot of good things on Saturday. A lot of good things yesterday, man. Florida State basically handled North Carolina from the very beginning. After it went 10-0, Florida State changed it. And, man, it looked like a – man, we can't F John James already.
They already there.
No, man, we can't F John James already. But, no, man, listen, we came in. We did – in my opinion, like I said, from 10-0, man, we looked like the better team from the very beginning. And man, I appreciate it, man. We appreciate it. Sam, man, we watched the game together, so we had a lot of thoughts, man. But tell me, I guess, give me an overall opinion of the game, then we can dive into some more deeper stuff.
You know, what I think my biggest takeaway, to be honest with you, is that the new thing is not always the best thing. And yep. You know, we went into the season with hyping up a lot of guys that hadn't even played at Florida State. And the guys that I think that you're going to win with is the guys that's always been here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that may not mean that you're going to be better, a top 10 team or a top 5 team, but maybe that'll mean you'll be a top 35 team, a top 45 right. team by the end of the season. And I think – and it's something else, man. I want to say this and be really, you know, honest with people. Jordan Travis is your quarterback, not just this year. He is your quarterback next year too. I think you need to lean into this until you get your young guys ready to go later on in the year. Because I know people don't like Jordan Travis. It's things they don't like about that. But to me, he's helping you build your program. I mean, when you watch him fight for yards, when you watch him get out of sacks, where he don't have – because, you know, every time the quarterback gets sacked, no matter who fault it is, everybody blames the offensive line. And the offensive line get down on themselves and they play worse and worse as the game go on. He gives the offensive line a chance to build confidence, to feel good about themselves.
Yep.
And it's not so much pressure on them. So my opinion is, he is your quarterback, man. You need to right. get behind him and say, this is our quarterback. This is who we are. This is what we're going to be until somebody else step up and take it from him. And I'm not saying take it from as far as being even with him. I'm saying they need to be far and away
significantly better.
And I'm done. We need to be done talking about quarterbacks at Florida State. We need to be done. Jordan Travis is a quarterback. He's the best quarterback on the roster. Even when Duffy get here next year, he's going to be better than Duffy because the offensive line and the wide receiver won't be good enough for Duffy to be great. Okay? So don't even put him out there. You know what I'm saying? Don't even put him out there. Like, commit to Jordan Travis.
Right.
Just commit to that.
Jordan Travis is a very good stopgap quarterback. You know what I mean? He's not going to be an NFL prospect. He's not going to be great at all. He's going to even have some pretty bad games at times. But what he is really good at running whatever Mike is trying to run. And I think that's the thing I really like. Watching this game made me realize we were really trying to force square pegs into round holes all season long.
Yeah.
As opposed to just deciding that, hey, Jordan Travis is our quarterback. This is what we saw in the offseason. This is what we saw last year, right? This is what we saw last year.
Evaluate this stuff, man. Yeah, exactly. Last year to evaluate and say, you know what, Jordan Travis give us the best chance to win.
And that's what was so frustrating, I think, about what we saw earlier, because we said this team has to run the football. This team has to be able to run the football, right. And they have to be able to, you know, create plays off of the run. If you if you establish the run, then you can create some plays and you see what the offense looked like.
Right.
We kept saying it. Again, Jacksonville State, what are they trying to do? Louisville, what are they trying to do? Why won't they commit to running? And yesterday, they committed to running the football. It was just that simple. They committed to running the football. It didn't matter how many was in the box. It didn't matter what the defense saw. They ran into the run, and they ran it every play. And what that does is speeds up the game. It allows you to control the time of possession. It allows you to keep that defense off the field. Like, it does so much stuff when you establish the run. And now you got every single time they ran that play action, you watch those safeties. I went back and watched the game again this morning, condensed version. Those safeties bit every single time you ran the play action.
Right.
Which allows Keyshawn Helton to get open deep when you need a response on a touchdown.
Right.
Because if that play was the exact same play they ran at the touchdown in the first half, exact same concept, except for they didn't have the cross. So you look at it and you say, all right, well, this is what your offense is supposed to look like. We talked about it, I think, last week, where we say, where's the plays that set up other plays? Well, that's it. It's because you hadn't established the run. But now this week, you see them establish the run. You can now run plays off of other plays. You can now run that play action and say, your linebackers linebacker and safeties are in super conflict right now because you got to account for Corbin, who can break one at any time, who had a very good game as well. Treshawn Ward, who had a very good game. And then Jordan Travis, who can keep it. So now those receivers become less and less of a threat because they're so worried about the run. It allows those guys to get open downfield. And what we saw was a lot of open receivers downfield. You know what I mean? That's what you want. That's the offense. That's what should have been the offense. That's what we were expecting the offense to be when the season first started and what made us so frustrated that we hadn't seen it. Thank you. You know what I mean? I don't know where it's been at. I don't know what was going on. In my opinion, I think it was a lot of second guessing. But, hey, it's what makes you upset. You know what I mean? When you look at it and you say, man, where could we have been? You know what I mean? If we run this offense against, I think, anybody – I believe you have much better chances of beating Wake Forest, Louisville, and we know it's definitely a win against Jacksonville State.
Well, for one, you're not going to get blown off the field.
Exactly.
You won't get blown off the field running this offense like this. And I think that as we continue to keep talking about this stuff, I think that we fall in love with these new pieces. I mean, you look at Parchment, and I'm harping on that a little bit too much because, I mean, I was right about it. But Ontario Wilson and Helton – if they was playing better in practice the whole offseason, the whole fall camp, the whole every week in practice going into these games, they should be getting the majority of the reps, man. They should be getting the majority of the plays going to them, throwing the ball to them. Even if they drop a football, you can still throw the football to them. You know what I'm saying? So
Ontario Wilson, Helton, and McDonald are your passing, are your receivers.
I'm not saying they're great. I ain't saying they're great. I'm not saying
they're the best you have.
But they're just the best you got. And it's like I felt like maybe they made promises to transfers or they wanted the transfers to work out. But I just kind of feel like on offense, man, you are what you are, man. And you can win like this. I ain't saying you're going to be great, but I'm saying you can win. You can beat the bottom tier ACC team. You could beat you could be the fourth place ACC team. I mean, you got to beat NC State, of course, but I mean, you could still do some nice. You really could have had a nice record going into that gauntlet that we got at the end of the season. You really could have.
Yeah, you know, and I think
that's the frustrating thing. I think I'm a little frustrated about that, but I'm happy to see the guys playing good football because good football means we're gonna eventually, hopefully, we can keep some of the recruits. Hopefully, we can attract some recruits in 23. You know, so I think it just really just depends, man. But I'm excited about what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm trying not to be frustrated because, like I said, when you see the progression, right, and you see exactly what they could be, it makes you mad at like, dang, why we didn't see this all season. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. Like, we really should have been able to see this all season, which now, like you said, that back half is going to be tough. I think I tweeted out, I think all of them are winnable. Just because, again, if you tell me they're going to stick to this, they're coming in the next week, and they're going to do the same, not next week, week after, and they're doing the same thing, UMass will be a win regardless of what they do. But, again, establishing the establishing your game plan. You know what I mean? Go in, do run it. Run the same thing you've been doing. Don't switch it up. Change. Let these guys get better and better in your system. Let these guys learn more and more. All right, cool. Get Jordan Travis more comfortable. And then maybe you can see, you know what I mean, Chubb will get in there and get some reps at the end of the game. It should be like that against UMass. UMass should be a game where your third string quarterback gets some reps, right, in my opinion. So, again, go out there. Run what you're supposed to run. You got the better team. Go out there running, get Jordan off the field early so he don't get hurt. And then you can see some third string guys. Now you're going to Clemson, who's not playing great, doesn't have a lot of confidence, and you've now stacked three wins in a row where you've, you know, basically run your system. You know what I mean? You've run what you've seen, you've had a chance to practice. Don't get cute. You know what I mean? Don't get cute in 2 weeks.
If you get into the fourth quarter with Clemson, anything can happen, dude.
Exactly. It's just anything like Notre Dame. Anything can happen. You line that up and do it the way you're supposed to do it. You do everything. You do things the right way. And that's kind of, I think, what we've been saying. Man, just do what you know you're good at. Right. One of the comments said, this is the first time everybody coached to their strengths. It's one of the things that we kept praising about with Dan Mullen. It's one of the things you pointed out a lot with Dan Mullen. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't ask his quarterbacks. He doesn't ask his team to do anything. Anything outside of it. You good at this one thing? We're going to do this one thing.
Yeah,
and we're going to do it in multiple ways, but we only going to do this one thing. And that's what we saw yesterday. The offense wasn't complex.
No.
It was very simple. We're going to run the football right at you. Yeah. And then when you crash on the running back, because we handed it off 3-4 times, Jordan going to pull it. He's going to take it around the end, and he has the ability to take it to the house at any point in time. Well, now your linebackers are always in conflict.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of pressure on them. It's not complex. And then when y'all are expecting to run, we can hit you with a play action pass. We can take deep shots and you get those splash plays.
Right.
That's the offense. It's what should have been the offense. And I'm good. James wanted an apology, man, about Jordan being the best quarterback for this team. I ain't gonna lie. Y'all took Jordan to task that one day, man. Y'all took James to task one day about saying Jordan was the quarterback for this team. I remember that. He took heat that day. He had changed his name and everything. We got his government on that night. But anyway, man, yeah, my opinion. Well, let me ask you this, Sam. I said they were winnable games. You think they've gotten more winnable games? Is this their game plan? Or you still think the record's the record? You think they ain't winning no more outside of UMass?
I guess my biggest problem is the coaches on this back end of the schedule are actually really good coaches, right? Mm-hmm. Halfley from Boston College is a good coach. All right.
Yeah.
I think he, you know, to be honest with you, I think that guy might be a rising star. Like, that's the dude. If you looking for somebody to take your team to that next level, I think Halfley is a guy you give a phone call to, whether that's the NFL or college. I mean, I'm impressed with that guy. So you got Halfley, you got Dan Mullen, you got Dabo.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to beat the shit out of Walt Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Dorn is not a great coach, so maybe that game is a little bit more winnable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it really – if you're going to tell me that we're going to get these teams into the fourth quarter, then that mean the game will be played on the margins. Then that mean we got an opportunity to win the game if you make it a 50-50 game. I think with this offense, it can be a 50-50 game. I still don't trust Fuller. They did do a good job yesterday, though. But I don't – we need to talk about that, too. Like – North Carolina coaching staff as a whole, like, that is just ridiculous every week, bro. I've watched them three straight weeks.
Forget every week. Hold on. No, don't even take it every week. Forget every week. Yeah. What did they do yesterday? Please explain to me what happened yesterday as the fourth quarter's going. We all sitting at the bar. Me, you, Reggie, we sitting there looking at the game and think, all right, they got to go and hurry up.
Right.
All right, they ain't going to go and hurry up yet. They need to put together a quick drive here because they still got two more scores. They're down by three scores. Okay, they ain't going to do it. All right, cool. All right, 6 minutes go. We get to the 6 minute. They still huddling up.
Yeah.
5 minutes. They still huddling up, snapping the ball with 3 seconds.
Yeah.
They still walking back to the huddle. It gets to 43 minutes before they finally decided, like, oh, man, we need to score right here.
Yeah, bro, they are egregious.
They had a 6 minute drive when they needed to be in hurry up. And then, like, just the onside, it was 204 when we got the ball back from the onside. it just, no, they bad. Them dudes, like, the,
woo. They are one of the, I don't know what their plan is every week. Like, dude, I watched them against Jeff Sims and Georgia Tech. And I'm watching them get outcoached by Jeff Collins. Like, I'm like, do they even have a plan? So I'm just saying, I think it's some dysfunction at UNC. I don't understand what they're doing. It's terrible clock. Their clock management is bad, but their plans going into games are bad.
Yeah.
Like, their plans in general are just bad. Like, they played into FSU strength.
Right.
By doing the stuff they was doing, they just played right into what FSU wanted to do. And I was like, well, that's weird. You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy we won. Like, let's
absolutely
just win.
Yeah, continue to be stupid.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How do we get the dubs?
The refs was a little generous with us yesterday too. I thought, you know, and I was happy about that too. But also, the referees in the ACC are just flat out terrible. They do this shit every week. It's just bad. And, you know, it's just terrible. But
on both on offense and defense, they DBs held our wide receivers and they linemen held our defensive linemen, which I understand because when they didn't hold, boy, they was getting roughshotted. I give it, like, Fabian Lovett had a great game. Like, I went back and watched this morning. Fabian Lovett had a really good game to have to step up. You know what I mean? And everybody, I remember I saw the tweets, man. Fabian Lovett going to have to start. And everybody was like, oh, it's going to get bad.
But, you know, he's one of the few, they saying Dennis Briggs was out. And I think it was somebody else that was out. But Malcolm Ray started too, didn't he? So it was
Malcolm Ray and Fabian Lovett started. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't see drop off. You know what I mean? Like, that defensive line continued. Keir Thomas, Jermaine Johnson continued to, and they double team Jermaine Johnson pretty much all game. So then that freed up Fabian Love, which is why Fabian Love is, and like you said, Malcolm Ray and Keir Thomas, they stepped up. You know what I mean? And that's what you need. And that's why I think we talked about it earlier where we say that defensive line is going to translate. And that's why I do think I say a lot of these games are, like you said, 50-50 games. They're definitely more winnable when you look at it and you say,
but they go from being 80-20 games with Milton.
Correct.
With Jordan Travis, they go from like 65-45, 50-50. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you put yourself in a better position where you're at least not getting blowed off the field where recruits don't think you know what you're doing. I told somebody that's a big deal. Like, honestly, and I told somebody this about this recruiting thing, and people get mad about it, but a lot of the kids that's committing to other places that we was in for, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man, I never thought they was coming here. Like, I never thought JL Skinner was coming here, bro. Like, there are just things about recruiting that if you're telling me Alabama's in, Georgia's in, Auburn's in, I mean, those are really hard programs to say no to when you've been a dumpster fire and you don't have the infrastructure support that those other schools have. You know, it's things that are bigger than football that parents and families look into that, you know, FSU hasn't put in place yet, especially these NIL deals. But I do think that by being 50-50 in some of these games, at least some of these guys won't just decommit and leave. I think you might – maybe you can keep some – maybe you keep Duffy, Hunter, which I think you keep Hunter regardless. But I do think if you'd have kept looking like shit on the field, like
– it was a very strong possibility.
I do think it would be hard for him to say, man, you know, because, I mean, you are 30 minutes away from Athens at the end of the day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I do just thinking – just looking competent keeps you in play, man.
And that's all I was going to ask you. Does this help? You know what I mean? Like, what, by them looking like, okay, they look like they now have a game plan. They now look organized. Again, if I'm going to give you blame when you look like shit, I'm definitely going to give you credit when you look. They looked competent yesterday. They looked like they had a game plan on offense and on defense. I thought they should have been out of trail technique early. He ended up working out for him with the Jerrion Jones interception. Appreciate Jerrion Jones turning his head around.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
turn
nice
his head around. You see what happens when you get your head back and look for the football. The good things happen. So, I mean, you know what I mean? So, again, they looked competent yesterday. I mean, and that on all phases. When guys open, of course, they were in zone. Sometimes I didn't think they needed to be. But, hey, sometimes you got to mix it up a little bit. I understand. But, again, defense, linebackers, safeties, wide receivers, O-line, penalties. You know what I mean? Like, they were down on penalties. What they had? I think five. I think they know. When we looked at it, they sent the stat. It was middle of the fourth quarter. They had four, and then I think they got one penalty late. So you look at it and you say, man, all right, five penalties. We can live with that. They were never behind the chains. That's great. Like, coaching-wise, this was the best coached game I think they've done. Because not even North Carolina last year when they won, I thought that was more luck. You know what I mean? That was more luck at the end of the game. If they had a, you know what I mean, some wide receivers catch a pass, you lose that game. This right. one, they looked like the better team for a very long time. They looked like the better coached team. They looked like the better prepared team.
Right.
From the word go. You know what I mean? From very early in that football game.
Right.
And you give me that, I say, yeah, that's progress. And I do think you keep some recruits. You keep some recruits, but like this, you keep the recruits that you have now. I don't know if you add to it, because again, I'm not sure if they win total gonna go up much more. You know what I mean? Maybe they get UMass, and maybe they, you know, beat a North Carolina State or Boston College or Miami or something like that. So maybe you get the 4 or 5 wins. But so that's not gonna gain you any recruits. But I do think it keeps the core of your class together. I think it keeps the majority of your class together.
Yeah. Y'all can keep asking questions. I'm gonna answer some of these questions a little bit later. I don't want to do it throughout the show. But while you're here, man, make sure y'all hit the subscribe button. Make sure you share the podcast. I mean, we are live on Periscope on Twitter, so make sure you hit the retweet button if you're on Twitter, man, so we can get it out a little bit more. I do want to say that I'm happy for those kids, man, because I was at the Louisville game, and I was talking to a parent of one of the kids, and I was watching them come out of the moor, and you know, watching them kids hurt like that because they, you know, nobody, you don't come to Florida State to be a sorry ass program, dude. You don't come here right. to be, you come here to play in big time matchups, to get the praise, you know, to be a part of greatness, man. So, you know, any win those kids get, man, I'm happy for them because I know they work hard. I know they do, you know, and I don't, and that's why a lot of people get mad at me because I'm hard on the coaches, because I know the kids have bought in to these coaches. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know they, and it's not that they bought into the coaches, they bought into Florida State. They want to make right. Florida State great again. They want Florida State to be a prior program again. The coaches need to be better, and they was better
yesterday
in this UNC game.
Yep.
And that's a good thing, and I want to see that going forward. So I'm really happy for those kids, very man. I'm happy yeah. for Hilton. Yeah. Hilton worked his ass off, you know, to get back from injury. He was good when he first got here. He dropped a few balls, but guess what, man? Wide receivers drop passes. I watch it all the time in college football. That don't mean stop throwing the ball. So I'm really happy for the guys, man. So that's a big deal, man. But while you're here, man, please subscribe to the show. Make sure you hit the and we gonna go ahead and transition to my boy to Mark Stoops, man. Mark Stoops is doing work, man. Mark Stoops is like, it's crazy the maturation of Mark Stoops right now, man. I'm like, is he like the third or fourth best coach in the SEC? We'll get Brandon back in a minute whenever he – I don't know what Brandon got going on over there, but we'll get him back. But Mark Stoops, man, he basically got Coach O fired yesterday. I think that's the last one for Coach O. I think he's pretty much fired now. I think Ed O is gone. So Mark Stoops, man, he's getting coaches fired. Kentucky's undefeated. He got a big matchup going into Georgia next week, which I do think they get beat by 2 to 3 touchdowns. But Mark Stoops, man, what you think?
I'm high on Mark, man. Problem is, Mark may be shooting higher than Florida State now. Yo, he's like, nah, but for real though, like, I've always been a fan of Mark.
Go ahead. I'll tell you something. This is some behind the scenes stuff right here. So I was when we was going through the coaches search. I know everybody kept saying Bob Stoops, and somebody was like, man, I think Mark is the one that's looking at his job, and I was like, really? And I was like, man, I don't want Mark Stoops just seems so kind of, ugh, you know, like, ugh, Mark Stoops, nothing sexy about that. And somebody was explaining to me, they was like, man, Mark Stoops would be perfect at Florida State, dude. He's what y'all mm-hmm. need. Y'all need a Dan Mullen type. Y'all need a guy that's going to just lay a foundation, win 8, 9, build y'all up to a 10-win program every year till y'all can find the right coach. I heard that they actually offered Mark Stoops a job, and I heard he actually turned it down. I heard he turned it down because he didn't like the structure with the president and the AD because they was on their way out. He didn't know who his boss was going to be. At Kentucky, I don't know if people know this, but he get like a $4 million, $5 million contract. But every time he wins 7 games, his buyout increases. So even if they try to fire him, he gets paid damn near like triple what he's already making. So like his buyout is like something silly, like almost $25 million. It's like something crazy. And he got a clause in his contract. Every time he went seven games, went to a, go to a bowl game, or he win that bowl game, it escalates a little bit higher. So he has great job security, right? And I heard the only job he would even consider taking is a Florida State, if Florida State got their shit together, like president, AD, infrastructure-wise, or maybe Iowa. And I heard the reason why Iowa was kind of big on his list because I guess he's from that Ohio area, him and his brothers. They come from that Hayden Fry tree, him and his brothers also. And they really big on Iowa. And Iowa got great job security too. You know, you look at Kurt Ferentz. Kurt Ferentz will squeeze in seven wins, eight wins.
Yeah, there's no expectation. 10-win
season.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you competent and you do a good job at Iowa, they give you big contracts, pay a lot of money. And, you know, and that's why I was telling somebody, they were talking about, you know, Mark Stoops going to Miami. I was like, he would never go there. Y'all got big commit. Y'all got low commitment with big expectations. He want to go somewhere with low expectation, big commitment. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really proud of Mark Stoops, man. What you think about Mark?
Man, I told you, I love Mark, man. What Mark has done, first of all, he's beaten Florida twice now. So, you know what I mean? In a time where they hadn't won in like 60 years. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So that was impressive, the first time he did it. Then he came back and beat them again, which and what I believe is a pretty decent, you know, decent to good Florida team this year, right? And beat them again this year.
Right.
Then he comes back and basically runs through. They were the more physically prepared team than LSU. Think about that. Kentucky was a more fit. They beat up LSU. You know what I mean? They were more physical at the point of contact on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
When have you ever seen Kentucky beat the more physical team? You may say they flashed, they got a good quarterback. You know what I mean? They've had some pieces here and there. That wasn't it. They were better than LSU. They play again today. They beat LSU the same exact way. It was a lot of dominance going on. So in my opinion, I look at Mark Stoops and I say, man, I wish we could have got him here. I wish he didn't turn. I wish we had the structure in place to have gotten him last year. Because if you get him this year, if nothing else, with the talent that we have on defense, because I do think we have a lot of talent on defense, with the talent that we have on defense, I think we look a whole lot better. Again, I don't want to take away nothing from Mike on a victory Sunday, man. After he just showed us, you know, his best coaching performance.
Yeah,
but I don't know if you have those, you know, negative coaching problems early in the season without him. So, in my opinion, and one thing about it, man, he has a system. That system has been in place, and he recruits very well.
He can recruit, and I think not only can he recruit, he can identify talent early. Mark identifies talent really early in the process.
Right.
A lot of times, SEC schools, the big-time schools come in late and take some of their kids away. But Mark is, like, notorious for grabbing guys early.
Right.
And next thing you know, they get an offer from Bama their senior year, and they go to Bama, Texas A&M, LSU. And Mark still does a good job getting those guys, developing those guys. I mean, think about what he did with Terrence Brooks when Terrence Brooks was here.
That was a good say, yeah. He takes the cast-offs, the guys that you don't necessarily think going to be great, and then make them great. He's very good at development. And I think that's been the problem with Florida State. They haven't had very much development. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see very much improvement from year to year. Those same guys who come in as freshmen look the same when they leave as seniors, and sometimes worse. You know what I mean? Like, and so, and then especially when you see the kids go to other like again, Warren Thomas. They told us Warren Thomas couldn't play. Warren Thomas seemed just be catching passes now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, game winning or game tying passes, tough catches, deep balls. And so, to me, I'm looking at it. Was that the player, or was that the, you know what I mean? Or what was that? The program, you know,
I think,
because it's hard for me to see, because we didn't just see it with Warren Thomas, like we saw it with DJ Matthews before he left. Mm-hmm. I get it, you know, he smoked weed and whatever it is, and we've already had that conversation.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, again, we've every single player who has left here who is now not injured was striving, but was thriving before they got there. And now I'm looking at him saying, man, we gotta. So I agree with that. Mark Stoops would have absolutely done a better job at development. I think we really struggle with development at FSU, as a whole. It's not just on Mike.
I think what happens is, I think I said this last year on the podcast. I like the first guys you got to recruit is the guys in your locker room,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get those guys first. Like, if you can get those guys to buy in, them guys in that locker room, they'll do the legwork for you as far as recruiting the high school guys. They'll do the legwork recruiting the guys in the transfer portal for you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot of the language that was coming out of FSU in the offseason, we just got to get Mike guys. We got to get Mike guys. And it was
all
crazy.
Of them are Mike guys.
But, you know, and that's another part. All of them is Mike guys. But think about this. You trying to tell me we can't win a game without Maurice Smith. Now, who was he recruited by? You trying to tell me our second best running back is a walk-on who was recruited by who?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this idea that it's one,
right.
It don't make any sense. Like, you got talented players here, man. You know, you got people like Milton and that dude Brandon Moore was talking when they came into Florida State, like, they got to come save the program, and they know what it takes to win and all this other shit. Like, dude, it's people in that locker room that are really talented players. You know what I'm saying? You got to put them in a system. It's all about a system. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's no such thing as bad. Like, this idea of, like, somebody, Skinner. FSU took Skinner off the board. So you trying to tell me he's good enough for Bama, but his attitude is too fucked up for Florida State? You think Nick Saban just let anybody walk up in his program? Like, is that what we want to believe? Like, that ain't. It's Nick Saban. Nick Saban don't just let anybody in his program, bro. Like, we know that. You know what I'm saying?
I said, and there's no – you can't afford to take people off your board. Like, you are not in a position to where you can look at Jahlil Skinner and say, we don't need you here. So don't tell me you took him off your board. Like, I hear what you're saying. I understand the message that has to go out because, you know, it sounds good. But you didn't take Jahlil Skinner off your board. You didn't. Like, I've heard all the stories or whatever it is. They didn't take Skinner off the board. Skinner told him he wasn't coming, and so then you moved on.
Right.
That's not fine. Like you can't afford, and that's fine. Like, it happens. It's recruiting, right? You're gonna lose to Bama. Bama gets who they want. Yeah. If Bama comes and tells you that they want your guy, they get your guy. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got two wins. You got two wins.
Yeah.
Hey, deuces. Sorry, Phil. I mean, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's nothing to be, you know what I mean? There's nothing. You can't afford to take players off of your board. You can't afford to say, I don't want this guy. I don't want that guy. You need to bring in as much talent as you possibly can. They will buy into the system if your team is already bought in. Right. Like you said, you got to recruit your locker room first. Keep that locker room strong. Keep that locker room together, and winning helps that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a bad locker room that was winning. All the locker rooms are good who win. Yeah. All the locker rooms who lose are bad. Yeah. Now, those are the rules. I don't make them up. That's just what happens. You know what I mean? Because, again, losing sucks. And so nobody in the locker room just happy and everybody just getting along and stuff. When you lose it, people start to point fingers. You start to figure out, man, you missed that tackle. You missed that block. It makes for a bad locker room. Yeah. But when they win it, all is right in the world. What happened? We saw yesterday. Everybody in the locker room dancing, partying, or whatever. That don't happen after losses because you lost. You know what I mean? And now look how bought in they are. Mm-hmm. They won. Of course they're going to have fun. That's how it works. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody dances like, but hey, man, we lost, but we having a good time. That's not how this works, man. So in my opinion, I think we made this into, like, foolish storylines. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
we want to say the situation is so much better now than it was then, and these guys are better. And these guys, and it's really not that.
They celebrated when Willie won, too. Like, and they was bad when Willie lost. Locker rooms are the same, man. Across the board, no matter who the coach is, no matter what the program is, you know who didn't look bought in yesterday? Alabama. You know what I mean? Because that's how it works. You know what I mean? It don't make sense to me. You know what I mean? Right, listen, man, our locker room is our locker room. Winning makes you feel good. They get to break the rock. You get to celebrate. You give out game balls. It's fun.
It's fun.
You know what I mean? And it does bring you together. So that's why I'm saying you stack some wins. It makes you feel good. You win. Yeah. You go out there. You've now rattled off three in a row. You don't have some good weeks of practice. You get into Clemson. You play Clemson in a dog fight. Who knows what happens? You beat Clemson. It's over with. You know what I mean? Like they're going to be on cloud nine. Now, can they build on it? Who knows? We didn't see them build on it last year. But what I can tell you is that if they continue to build on what they did yesterday and they realize we ain't got to reinvent the wheel. We ain't got to get cute with it. Go out here against UMass, do the exact same thing we did this week. Well, I can tell you, you want to know the game plan for next week? We're going to run the football and throw off play action. That's the game plan. And if that's not the game plan, somebody's done something terribly wrong. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they should be doing, building and perfecting what they do well. You know what I mean? So it's like,
But you know, the good thing about I remember when Jimbo first took over here. We probably talk about Mark Stoops, but anyway, when Jimbo first took over here, he ran speed option to the death.
To
like
the death.
He was speed option left, speed option right, speed option left, speed option. It was like
that's what I want to do.
Because and it's like he had a big ass playbook, but his playbook went down to like almost 15, 20 plays, and that's right. all he did. And we found a way to win games then. And then right. you know, as he got better players, he's eight. And I was telling somebody about this because somebody was saying second half adjustments, and I said you can only adjust when you got good players.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
the better your players is, the more you can adjust. When you mm-hmm. don't have great players, you don't do a lot of adjusting because they can't do a whole lot. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So you know, I'm just happy about that. But man, let's move on to Jimbo, man. Before we move on to Jimbo, man, make sure y'all subscribe to the pod, man. Make sure you like the pod. Go on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. We really appreciate you guys, man. But yeah, man, Jimbo Fisher.
I'm happy for the guy, man. I know we're supposed to hate Jimbo, man, but I'm happy for Jimbo, man. Like, first of all, being the first to do anything is always impressive.
Yeah.
But you said it. When Jimbo gets you lined up, he know he got to get the right game plan, the right situation. His players believe he don't say the right words in the locker room, so he know his players believe it, and they come out there with that swagger. Jimbo calls them up, man, with the best of them. Oh, Jimbo can dial it up with the best of them. When he know he got it.
Yeah, when he sees something, he know he – like, dude, that game last night reminded me so much of 2012 Clemson when he just knew it. He knew he had Brent Venables in the headlock. He was like – he like
– I got some fun at it, yeah.
He went and looked at Mark Stoops like, don't even worry about it. I got y'all. You know what I'm saying? like you know with Jimbo's in his bag, and he left today, you could see the swagger. He was like, yeah, I got your ass today, Nick. Like, I got you. You in the vice grip today. And he did a good job, man. He did a good job getting those kids ready because I thought that backup quarterback looked fucking terrible for, like, three straight games. And then last night he looked like fucking Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes. I'm like, what is
happens
going on?
When you find, yeah, when you got it clicking, man, it's just one of those – it's a beautiful thing to witness, man. Hey, and also, we're going to get to all these comments, man. We see the comments. We just holding them off to the end, man. We're going to address a lot. We're going to address all these comments, man, I promise you. Just, you know, stick with us. But, yeah, I mean, what Jimbo did last night was so impressive, man, because, again, it shows you why he's a good coach. You know what I mean? Again, I get it, F Jimbo and all that stuff. But it shows you why he's such a good coach, man. To be able to line up and basically out-coach Nick Saban and staff and company. You know what I mean? Like, to have put together – we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Out-coach Clemson just knew they was coming in there. But they came down that hill so happy, just knowing. Yeah. And, boy, by the second, third quarter, it went nothing but Seminole fans in there. Yeah. You could hear the war chant clearly from the fans in the stadium, like mid-third quarter. They knew what time it was. You know what I mean? And when Jimbo gets in that bag, man, that's an impressive bag. And it's only a few coaches. It's only a handful of coaches who can out-coach Nick Saban, if any.
Yeah.
Dabbling staff, and I think that was it.
Well, you know, I think and I said this early in the season. I mean, I felt like – Alabama had to replace a lot on the offensive line. Receivers, they replaced a lot of receivers.
Heisman Trophy winning receivers.
Quarterback, you replace a whole new quarterback.
It's the same reason, same thing we talked about with Clemson too. But yeah,
ahead. Yeah. So you know, they best football may not be early in the season. It might be later in the season. But by then, you maybe have lost one or two games by the end.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I mean, Nick Saban's going to be fine. I mean, a down season with him is losing one, two games. I mean, he's fine. He, you know, he's not been overtaken. But it's just that when you replace a lot, and then that Texas A&M defense was pretty senior-laden, pretty, like, a lot of juniors, a lot of NFL prospects on that defense. And I told somebody when I watched the Miami game, even though Miami the doors got blew off of them, Miami defensive line and linebacker was getting back there hitting that quarterback. So if you watch every game, the Miami game, the Florida game, they show leaks within the offense. They were showing leaks there. They just haven't had a team that could cover the wide receivers. And it's the same reason why I got Georgia. I was like, well, Georgia's going to beat Bama. I actually don't think it's going to be particularly close. You know what I'm saying? Because Georgia can they can line up man on man with them and go to work, and it won't be. So it didn't surprise me at all. I knew, and then why are we surprised that Jimbo beat Nick Saban? Because I feel like he's the only one of his assistants that's won a national championship, that's put a national championship team together and won a national championship. Like, of course it should have been Jimbo. Like, of course. I mean, it just makes sense. That's, yeah. And that was like his, Jimbo was like his pride protege. Like,
yeah.
You know, they like father and son together. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. You know, it shouldn't surprise people that
Jimbo. It definitely shouldn't. It shouldn't have. I think a lot, which is why I think that FSU Bama game was so hyped up that year. Because I think people was like, if anybody gonna take him, it's gonna be Jimbo. You know what I mean? It's gonna be Jimbo. And I think they said, well, Florida State has recruits at a level to where they should have the athletes to match up with them. Mm. And honestly, that game was a couple of early blown calls away from being a little different, in my opinion. But yeah, man. Here's there, man. What, it don't matter. Like that happened. But no, Jimbo Fisher, man, is one of the top coaches. I don't think it's a question. When you look at what he's done, when you look at what he developed,
it's not easy to win a national championship.
It's not.
It's also not easy to sustain that.
It's not easy to win at Texas A&M. You know what I mean? Like Texas A&M got a lot of money, got all the resources or whatever it is. But dang, it's tough to win at Texas A&M.
Yeah,
just because it's Texas A&M, you know what I mean? You got to recruit against Texas, you're recruiting against LSU, you're recruiting against Bama, you're recruiting against, you know what I mean? Like Oklahoma, you got to, it's tough to recruit at Texas A&M. And Jimbo just went in there, is recruiting highly, and just beat Bama.
That's a tough win, man.
That's a very tough win. Without Johnny Manziel as a quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Like he didn't do it with like a special quarterback or nothing.
No, he had freshman offensive line. He had freshman.
Right. He went out there and did that with, man, that's tough. Yeah. But anyway,
but let's get to some of these things, man. So he said Bill O'Brien helped Jimbo out by calling these deep, slow developing routes versus the blitz. I think Bill O'Brien knew that they weren't gonna be able to sustain drives against Texas A&M defense. I think they were trying to throw knockout punches. Yep. To try to calm that crowd down. And also, I think he knew his quarterback wasn't going to be patient enough to just take the gimme yards. And his quarterback got rattled because I thought early on Bryce Young was real confident and was taking the little outlet passes and stuff. But I thought as the game started tightening up, he was trying to look for that. I think the quarterback was looking for a lot of those deep bombs too. So, that's agreed. One. I want to get the running question. He said they need to get these young DNs some time on it in the next game. I would actually disagree with that, Ronnie. I would tell you that,
man, play your
Go ahead.
We need to not be forcing young freshmen into any type of game situation, because what we don't want to happen is guys get hurt and it slows their development in the offseason. I would say I would not be trying to play young guys. I would be getting my team ready for 2023 and getting them ready for 2024. I would go deep into trying to get these guys developed. Because guess what? And I got to tell you guys this. Guys can actually get better in practice without us actually watching. This is true.
That's what practice is for, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
contrary to popular belief,
yeah. Yeah, people really think guys got to play in games for them to get better. Not necessarily true. They can actually get better in practice. It's true.
It happens. No, I listen, I think the thing that made me so happy about watching yesterday as well, when we talk about the coaches, was they didn't have a deep bench yesterday. They played 30, 40 guys.
Yeah, they shortened the rotation up.
Is what, again, is as if like they said, all the things that everybody has been saying for the longest, for this whole season, they finally said, all right, everybody can't be wrong. And they said, all right, let's do it. You know what I mean? I don't know what happened. I don't know if they had just like a meeting where they just listened to all the podcasts and then was like, well, that's a good idea. Let's write that down. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't care, to be honest with you, because they won. But I don't know what happened. But whatever it is, they clearly said, all right, let's shorten this rotation down. You didn't see a whole Parchman. You didn't see a whole lot of Parchman.
Yeah.
At all. You didn't see the third running back. Toa Finley did not touch the ball. Did not play yesterday.
You don't need to see
him. Because you don't need to see him.
Yeah.
Let him get some weight on him. Let him work out in practice. Let him get stronger and better, because you're going to need him, like you say, next year and the year after. You don't need him right now. Right. So, therefore, we're going to go with Ward and Corbin. You know why? Because Ward and Corbin are your good running backs.
Right.
You're going to throw the ball to Pokey and to
Helton
and Cam McDonald. We're sprinkling McClain in there, but he's developing. He's a freshman. You understand that? Because that's your offense.
Yeah.
On defense, we saw it. Those front four. was your front four. If somebody got tired, you went to the backup because you got two guys hurt, but your line was your line. Mm-hmm. It didn't change very much.
Yeah.
We saw Jermaine Johnson. I think he made a play. I think we look at it, you're going to see he played every single snap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? DBs were your DBs, except for on Hail Mary coverage, where for some reason Travis Jay is your Hail Mary coverage quarterback. I mean, cornerback.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what it should be. You don't have the luxury or the talent level to be able to go three deep. You can't keep trying to figure out what it is. You know, this is your team. Roll with them 30, them 40 guys, 35 to 40 guys, and that's it.
Yeah.
Period. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the luxury, you don't have the talent to be able to do it. So there's no reason for it, and we saw that yesterday. It's why I thought they looked more cohesive. They look together because that's your best. Those are your best players.
Right.
When they leave the field, you have a problem because now you bring in other guys who are not doing as good.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. So, no, I disagree. I want to get to Nunes' comment. He said, I don't trust the staff to stick with the game plan for the rest of the season. For whatever reason, against UNC, they become a competent staff. Yeah. We haven't seen it before this game, but I'm hoping that they found something yesterday and said, okay, let's stick with it.
Yeah.
We can only project what we believe they'll do. I agree with you. This staff seems to, you know, change it up from week to week. In my opinion, I believe they figured out exactly what they do well with the players. They do it well. And in my opinion, you're supposed to stick to that. That's what I don't even say good coaches. That's what any coach would do. You know what I mean? Like, all right, these are my best 22. I'm rolling with these dudes, taking them to the promised land. This is what we do well. Let's roll with it. I'm cool. Let's do it. So, again, I don't necessarily say I trust it because they have been all over the place all season. Also, that staff on the other side of the ball got dementia, whatever it is. They got a lot of stuff going on because they don't seem to look like they're very competent. They gave us the game at the end.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know what I mean? Hopefully this translates from week to week.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think it does translate, hopefully.
I agree.
I think it does translate, hopefully.
Cubby as BC, North Carolina State, Miami. Who you think we – I think we take one out of the three.
So, okay, so NC State.
BC, Miami.
See, like I said, the Miami thing is so hard for me because – even though it's funny to me, you know what's really
Miami
funny?
Ain't got no.
Let me say this though: this is funny. Like the FSU media, when we lose, we building up and it's okay. These guys come together, but when other teams lose, they falling apart, right?
Right. We the only team that loses and stick and gets closer together. We gel in our losses. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know Miami's gonna play hard against Florida State.
Yes, that's the Super Bowl.
You know what I'm saying? Like They're gonna play hard against Florida State and. To be honest with you, Miami defense is not bad. It's not it's not bad, right?
True.
Manning's a bad coach.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't think – well, I don't think our coach is so much above Manning. Rhett Lashley does eat Adam Fuller's lunch every time he play against him.
Mm-hmm.
Is DeAndre King going to be healthy by that time?
DeAndre King?
Mm. Which is possible.
It's possible.
So, I don't know, man.
Okay,
I can't go into these games. I would say I say 1-3. We'll win one out of those three games.
We'll win one out of those three. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know which one. I ain't gonna lie to you. I can't tell you which one, but so BC, NC State, of Miami.
Four. It'd be like 4-6 by the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I can't. At this point, I can't even project going forward. I just gotta take it from week to week. Because again, kind of like what Nunes said, we don't know what this coaching staff is going to do next week. They can decide they're going to blow it up.
They went 2 weeks and ran basically the same game plan.
They did it a little. No, because we couldn't talk about that. Remember, we didn't talk about the Syracuse game. They looked bad against Syracuse and won because Syracuse looked worse. But they didn't necessarily look like they had a composite game plan against Syracuse. Syracuse was we did a 20-minute episode because we couldn't figure out how to be happy for what we saw. You know what I mean? Like last week wasn't it. Right. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like we watched Syracuse and they had this real solid game plan together and they said, all right, well, you know, now we're gonna win. It was just bad football. It was two bad football teams that lucked into some wins. They still was throwing those swing passes and whatever it is, you know. I don't know. Last week wasn't it? So I, this is the first week that they've put together the game plan that we thought they should have been doing all along.
It's also the first week he played against Mac Brown too. I mean,
and that's what's Nooney is saying.
Yeah, the Mac Brown effect is real.
That Mac Brown effect is real, and it's the first time we've seen it.
Yeah, he's right.
Do they do it going forward?
He's right about that. Travis did win the game despite the coaching staff.
Yeah. That was backyard football last week. Yeah. This was a game plan. Last week was just Jordan, go run around. Yeah. Go run around, make some plays, and we might be able to pull out a win in this one. Yeah, that wasn't, in my opinion, good coaching. You got another one?
Let me see here. I'm sorry about that. Hold on. Clicked over somebody. I made everybody mad talking about Jimbo left something good and stable to find something greater. Everybody a little tight about that one. Hey, know your worth, man. Know your worth.
If you get
better, man, go get better.
Yeah, know your worth, King.
You know your worth. I don't think we got no more questions. I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just reading through them now.
Yeah.
Syracuse did. He was like, didn't they beat Wake? Yeah.
No.
No, they didn't. They lost. They lost in overtime. No, that's right. Wake Forest won. Wake Forest came back on down. That's right.
Yeah, they coach good on the margins.
In overtime.
They coach good on the margins, bro. Don't worry.
Yeah, they win those close ones. You're right.
Yeah.
No, I don't see nothing else either, man. Listen, like Sam said, man, like we've said always, man, retweet the pod. You see it. You know what I mean? When we post it. If you have not subscribed, please click that subscribe button. I don't know what you're doing if you have not clicked that subscribe button. Listen, man, do what y'all got to do. UMass is coming in on that one game winning streak. They hot right now.
them boys rush the field. That's some funny shit. Them
boys, you better rush the field. You better get this opportunity again. You may not get that opportunity again. You better take this opportunity to be on the field. I agree with them rushing the field, man. For real.
Yeah.
It's in my opinion. I'm very happy about this win. Please don't get it twisted. We very, very, very happy about this win, man.
It was some good football games.
Because it was good, we were part of good, but like we played good football yesterday.
Yeah.
It's the first time this season, and maybe the first time. Is this the first time in Mike Norvell's coaching where we said, "Wow, they look like a good football team together, like as a whole."
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Like I'm thinking about last season or whatever it is. This is the first time I thought they looked really good, offense, defense, even special teams made plays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this was the first time where all three phases, they looked well coached. And, yeah, first time in a very long time. I'm literally slow because I'm trying to figure out, like, when was the last time I seen them look competent and well coached as a team? Yesterday, they looked like a good football team. I hope it's not the Mac Brown effect. I hope they can carry that on to next week. Hopefully they found something. And man, if so, then you know, maybe we'll see some more upsets this season. You know what I mean? Maybe they can put it all together. Because let me also say this. And this is the last thing I'll say, and we can wrap. I don't believe you can say that this team doesn't have talent when you can clearly beat North Carolina.
Yeah.
Who has more talent than you? So we keep hearing these players just suck. It's just these players suck. They can't suck when you're winning and you're beating North Carolinas, but they suck when you lose to Jacksonville State.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You can't have it both ways. It's funny. And I said that too. I'm like, so now they well coached because they moved to football. But when they wasn't moving to football, because the players I don't know, man. It's the chicken and the egg every time, bro.
You know. Every time. That's all I'm saying. Listen, one thing about us, man, we're going to be consistent. We're going to be consistent. All y'all other podcasts and, you know, all them other people, and I'm not trying to take shots, but it's going to be a shot anyway. Keep it consistent, man.
Keep it consistent.
It can't be the players up. It can't be the players up. They ain't got enough talent to win these games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, again, we all seen the – like, again, maybe last year where recruiting wasn't good or whatever it is, but they got some 4 or 5 stars back there in that secondary.
Yeah.
Corbin was a good running back. Yeah. Trishon Ward is a good running back.
Yeah.
You got talent.
Yeah, it's talent there. Offensive line, if you let them run block, they can do that really, really well.
Yeah, we've been saying that. They run block really well. And last – they no holding calls because they wasn't in pass cover very often.
Yeah.
They created holes. Running backs got skinny. picked up 3-4 yards on first down. Another 3-4 yards on second down. Put you in third and short.
The thing about it, though, you got to give the players opportunity to make the plays.
Put your players in the best position to win games. We've been preaching that. They did that yesterday. They did not coach outside of their strengths. They found the core of their team. They rallied around them and did what they do well. Everybody was in good position yesterday.
And we'll wrap.
I love it.
We'll wrap on that.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
We'll wrap on that note, man. Hey, thank you guys for coming through, man. This
was hey, doing to say with 9 in the box. Hey, man, we out, man.
I've said that. Big runs happen when there's 9 in the box. But
we was at the bar. Look at that, 9 in the box. These dudes still get 3 or 4 yards. All right, anyway. Yeah, man, we out, man.
You got you got all these people saying you can't do it. Okay. All right, man. Y'all be great.
Y'all be easy, man.